This is the chayk of the Torah that Hashem commanded. We learn about the mitzvah of Por Aduma. Por Aduma is considered to be the quintessential chok, the quintessential unquestioned, ununderstandable law. As Rashi says, Ho Satan v'umay Sa'ilam. The nations of the world and the Satan reproach the Jewish people, saying, "What is this thing? What is this mitzvah? Matam yeshba." They do that about many mitzvahs, but Zois Chukas HaTorah, this is the one which raises the most questions. So filled with ironies, the Parah Aduma, it's brought outside of the Beis Hamikdash. It's Matamias HaTorah, as it's Mataras HaTmeim. It brings Tuma to the pure. It brings Tara to the Tame. It's so complicated, and they don't understand. And so they rebuke the Jewish people for it. Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar. Right? Everybody knows that. It's not new. And let's put that as point number one for us to consider, that here in this mitzvah of Parah Aduma, that's what we have. We have something which is the quintessential chak. Let's look at point, let's now go a little bit further and note point number two. Point number two is found in Rashi at the end of the story of Por Aduma, where Rashi backtracks and he looks at the parsha of Por Aduma through the teachings of Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan, the midrashic interpretations of Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan. And Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan is one of the teachers of Rashi, from which he derived many very midrashic interpretations, and he explains the parsha of Por Aduma as an atonement for the Masa Ega, for the golden calf. He says, They should bring to you in order to be able to have a Por Aduma, just like they went and they had such a successful fundraising appeal to bring to you to make the golden calf, they should bring to you as well to bring the red heifer, the red cow. Por Aduma, says Rashi, continues Rashi from Rav Moshe HaDarshan, and this is actually found in the Tanchuma, in a more classic medrash. Leben Shifcha Shetinef Paltin Shel Melech. There was the son of a Shifcha, of a maidservant, who dirtied the palace of the king. Amru, they said, Tava ima yutkanea chatzaya. He messed up, so let his mother come and clean it up. That's what they said. Kach, so to hear, Tava poro tchaper al ego. Let the poro come to atone for the ego. The poro is the cow, the ego is the calf, the poro is the mother, the ego is the child. Let the mother come and clean up for the child. Interesting. No, interesting. Like funny kind of a thing. Here we're saying, Por Aduma. Many times we find korbanos that we, as Rashi notes, especially with the dedicated in the Mishkan, coming to forgive the, to atone for the Maisa HaEgel. Here specifically, we come to atone for the Maisa HaEgel. The Pora, the mother comes. That's the picture. The mother comes to clean up the mess made by the Egel, made by its child. Another interesting thing, another interesting point. We have Chayk, we have Pora, right? So I mentioned between Mincha and Marav, one of the days this week, the idea that, you know, you could just simply look at the contrast, and we'll maybe come back to this perhaps a little bit later, that the Por Aduma is a Chayk, and the Egel, what was the sin? What did the Jewish people do when they created for themselves a golden calf? That's exactly what they did. They created it for themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. We have no instructions from Hashem. In that vacuum, we're going to create our own way of doing things. And that was the big mistake. That's why it's written in the Rishonim. That's why the ultimate kapara on the Egel was when they had brought the Mishkan, where it was defined and prescribed exactly, Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. This is exactly how you create something that will bring Hashem's spirit into the world. This is not from the do-it-yourself club. You have to get a guidance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Por Aduma, which is, we have no clue, we're only doing it because Hashem told us, can serve as the antidote to the Egel, where Our mistake is that we're doing it completely by ourselves, despite the fact that Hashem didn't tell us. We learn that deference, and we learn that acceptance of Hashem's word without trying to insert our own. Okay, that's a piece. It's a significant piece. But the expression of, so let the mother come and clean up for the child, you know, let, it could have been with a frog, right? It could have been with anything, right? To say that say this idea of drawing the picture of a mother coming and cleaning up for the child. Now I want to ask you to think for a moment. When I talked to you about this idea of the mother coming and cleaning up for the child, did you like say for a second? Did like anybody bother anybody that idea of the mother coming and cleaning up for the child?
Maybe.
Huh?
It happens today.
It happens today. Mother sometimes has to clean up for the child. Yeah. a mother sometimes has to clean up for a child. Okay. I leave you to think for a second if there's anything about it which in the context of the Torah strikes you a little funny. And I'm going to tell you a story. The most famous story about Parah Aduma. I'm sure that many of you, not all of you, are familiar with the story. And maybe that will help bring across the question. The Gemara says as follows. They asked Rav Hula, to what extent does the obligation of Kibud Av V'Aim go? Amar Lahem, he said to them, Tzuru'u ma'osay v'kechav mechad v'ashkulayn v'dama ben asino shemay. I want you to go out and see what a certain guy, Ovid Kechav, non-Jew in Ashkelon did, and his name was Dama ben Asino. What happened? Pamachas v'kshu chachamim parkamatya b'shishim ribay schar. There was a time when the chachamim needed merchandise which was worth $600,000. Shishim ribo schar. Shishim ribo is 600,000. Whatever the 600,000 of the currency. It was probably more than $600,000. 600,000 silver pieces. So they went to whatever it was. Where's the jewelry? 42nd? Whatever it is. They went to there and they came to this guy's shop and they said, you sell this stuff. We'd like to buy it from you. He said, I'm sorry, but I can't serve you right now because the key to the vault is in such and such a place in my father's room, and he happens to be sleeping right now, and the key's under his pillow. So I can't serve you right now. So what happens? What happens? You do that. So they went to the next store. There are lots of people they could go to. You're not available right now. We'll go to the next one. So they went to the next one, and he passed up the opportunity. So that's how you see how far Kibud Av V'Aim goes. Look at that. He didn't want to disturb his father, even though he passed up such a huge deal. And the Gemara goes on and brings the Rebbe Eliezer. They did the same thing. There was Ayvik Chamechad Ba'ashkeloin, Dam Ben Sina, Bikshmenu Chacham Avonim La'efeid B'Shishim Ribay Schar. The Chachamim sought from him, yes, merchandise. But what was the merchandise? It was a specific kind of merchandise, which was they needed stones for the ephod, for the tunic of the kohen. Right, the kohen gadol wears an ephod, a tunic with a front breastplate, and there are stones over here, two, one on each side, and there are 12 stones on the actual breastplate. So they needed stones for the ephod. That's what it says here in the Gemara. Rav Kahana Masni b'shmeinim riba, it wasn't 60 riba, it was 80 riba. V'yemavteach munach tachas merashayse shalav v'loy tziyare. And the pillow was the key was under his father's pillow, and he didn't want to disturb him. What happened? L'shana acheres nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu schari. 1 year later, Hashem rewarded him. Shenolda loy par aduma be'edrei. That a par aduma was born in his flock. Nichnesu chachma Yisrael etzlei. Made headlines. Everybody heard about it. So the Chachma Yisrael heard there was a Parah Aduma born in Eretz Yisrael. They went to see him. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Yoidea ani bochem, shimani mevakish mikem kol momin shabaylam atem reisnim li. I can ask you any price and you'll pay me. Parah Aduma is a commodity. incredibly rare commodity to fulfill all the requirements of Parah Aduma. He had them. He could have asked any money in the world, and he knew it. And he says, I know I could ask you any money in the world. All I want is to make back the money that I passed up last year for the honor of my father. That was his reward. That was his compensation for what he had done for Kibud Av. That's the story in the Gemara. And the Gemara concludes and says, Rav Chanina said, if Misha ene mitzuva v'aisa kach, mitzuva v'aisa alachas kama v'kama. If he, who wasn't commanded in Kibud Av V'Aim, did it this way, how much more so we, who have the commandment of Kibud Av V'Aim, how much more so that we should do this. That's the story. That's the famous and the beautiful story of Dhamma ben Nissina.
I don't understand. How does Kibud Av come there? If they have a business and they weren't, and he leaves his son to run it while he's sleeping, so he should be able to take care of the business.
He should, but the father went to sleep with the pillow, with the key under his pillow. He went to the key, he didn't sleep with the key under his pillow. So some would say, well, 1 second, wouldn't his father want him to wake him up? Right? You know, so he doesn't pass up the deal. So it's an issue on the sugya. The key was under his pillow. The key was under his pillow. Okay. So this is the story in the Gemara. He got a Parah Aduma as a reward for his Kibud Av V'Aim. As a reward for his Kibud Av V'Aim. So now, perhaps maybe the smichus helps you understand what I'm suggesting might be gnawing at somebody a little bit. You see, you have two opposite directions when it comes to Kibud Av V'Aim, or to relationship between child and parent. Kibud Av V'Aim is a child taking care of their parent. That's the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Ad Heichan Kibud Av V'Aim is a child taking care of their parent. The dynamic of Av V'Aim starts with a parent taking care of their child. The picture which we have drawn here of the Parah Aduma being brought for the Masa Egel, the Parah Aduma is the parent taking care of the child. Tavay Ha'em Utkameach Tzayas Bina. I say what I was alluding to before, a little bit of grading is a parent cleaning up for the child. When you think about that, on the other hand, you think about the child's obligation to take care of the parent, it's like, what's going on over here? You understand, of course, that when the child is an egel, when the child is a calf, when the child is small, so then the direction is going to be perhaps to some degree more naturally, that the aim comes l'kaneach tzayas b'na. It requires understanding. That in itself, we understand. Child was taken care of by the parents earlier, so when it gets later, so then maybe the child should now do their own taking care of the parents. But having this accented here, that the specific reward by the Parah Aduma, the specific reward for Kibud Av V'Aim was that he had the boon, the tremendous windfall that comes with a Parah Aduma, that was specifically a reward for Kibud Av V'Aim, it's something for us to think about in the context of this, where we see the nature of the Parah Aduma is of Tavay Ha'em Utekaneach Tzayach Spina. I guess we could say it's a second question, more than the second question or the third question. So let's try to understand it. And we can try to understand it to begin with by looking back at this first Rashi. The first Rashi notes that this is a mitzvah that the Eivdei Kechavim Meinem Es Yisrael, that the non-Jews reproach the Jewish people and they say, we have no clue, why are you doing this? Why are you doing the mitzvah of Parah Aduma? That's the case by the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. What about by the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim? By the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, it's the exact opposite. When the Jewish people need to learn how to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, where do they go? You go and say, go look at what that Oyved Kichav Mechad Ba'ashkelon, what that guy did. Look at that guy. Look what he did. How he showed respect for his father. And that teaches us how to be able to do this mitzvah. They do this mitzvah in a way which models the behavior for us. Everybody knows that Esav was the outstanding model of Kibud Av V'Em. Beyond, it seems, on a certain level, Yaakov Avinu. Beyond Yaakov Avinu, Esav was Kibud Av V'Em. Esav was Mitzrayim Kibud Av V'Em. That was his big schus. In some, Rishonim says that the reason Yitzchak knew that Esav wasn't so great, but Yitzchak, in order to give him the brachas, he had to tap into where he was great. So what did he do? He said, bring me something to eat. Because that was Esav's Hitztainut. That was where Esav distinguished himself. And he distinguished himself beyond even Yaakov Avinu. So if he distinguished himself like that, so he says, let me bring out the greatness of Esav, and that will be a good tone setter for me giving him the brachas. So we have here the Pundak Echad in one place. We have here two mitzvahs that are exact polar opposites. On the one end, you have Zois Chukas HaTorah, the Paraduma, which is cryptic to the point where we say, the opening volley of Rashi, that the non-Jew cannot begin to comprehend it. Not just the non-Jew, right? The Jew also can't. Shlomo HaMelech said, I thought I could be wise and smart and get it, but this is too far for me. I can't understand it. So on the one hand, we have the Paraduma, which is such a great enigma that that's the place where the Eidei Kechav look at us and say, what on earth are you doing here? And on the other hand, we have the relationship of Avaim. And specifically, that the Paraduma was brought to Dama ben Asina because of his fantastic fulfillment of Kibud Av V'Em. And Kibud Av V'Em is not a mitzvah which puzzles the nations of the world. Kibud Av V'Em is a mitzvah where they get it completely. They get it even better than we get it. What's the pshat? Okay, pointing out some ironies. Understand what? Everybody okay? I should put my glasses on. I'm not like, getting any feedback at all. Everybody okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so what's the pshat? So why do Dama ben Asina, why does Eighth of Harasha do Kibud Av V'Em better than us? Why do we have to learn from them how to do Kibud Av V'Em? Dama, even by the way, it's an interesting thing. Dama is like Edom. The name Dama is like the name Edom. Same letters. And they're just, Aramaic, it's even with the Aleph at the end, would it be especially, it seems fitting. But why is it that they are mitzdayin? Why is it that they're outstanding in Kibud Av V'Em beyond us? So, I suggest to you as follows. I could suggest it to you on a philosophical level and on a practical level. On the philosophical level, it goes as follows. The Gemara says, famous Gemara, same area here, this is Maseches Kiddushin, where I read you the story, which is on the Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. The Gemara says what I'm about to tell you in Maseches Kiddushin on the Lamed Amid Beis, one page before. Shloisha Shutin Hein Ba'adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'aviv Ve'imai. There are three partners in the creation of every person. Hashem, Father, and Mother. Hashem, Father, and Mother. When you have three partners in something, sometimes like one partner can dominate. You have a managing partner. You have a majority shareholder. You have something like that. What's with the three partners in a person? Right? The Gemara describes, divides it up, where this one produces this one brings that, like how they all come together. Rashi quotes the Brice and Maseches Nida, where what each partner contributes to the person. Hashem brings in life, not physical parts, but he brings in life itself. You understand that when your partner's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or when a person, child, looks and sees, well, why am I here? And he sees his father, very nice. He sees his mother, very nice. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoa. And in fact, in a halachic sense, we say that. What happens if a father says, I want you to make me a cup of coffee, right? And it's Shabbos and there's no hot water. And he says, I know, but I want you to still make me a cup of coffee. So what's the din? You ignore them. If the father or mother asks for something which is going against the greater wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about it. You don't listen to them. Why? Because the father and mother also have responsibility to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to say, respect us, listen to what we have to say. And we say back to them, we'll respect you when you're within your rights. You yourself have to be doing something else. So therefore, Aviv Aymer L'chalas HaShabbos, and Shaymin Lai, as it says, Ish Imai V'Aviv Tiro, V'Hashab Sai Sai Tishmo. Honor your parents, but observe the Shabbos. So that's just one example. The same thing would be true of any mitzvah in the Torah that the parents said to violate. There's eminent domain. The Rabban Shalom is beyond that. So you understand, again, both from the general sense, if you're aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so, you know, parents are just this big. And from a halachic sense, the honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits the honor to parents. So the more aware you are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you have a counterweight to keep it off. The more you have a counterweight to honor which one gets from parents. So that's a point. That's the philosophical, so to speak, and halachic. The practical is also this way. You know that indeed, covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, honor for Hashem, does get in the way of people's honor for their parents. It's a common phenomenon that parents who thought they were religious all their lives, right, all they have to do is wait for their children to become teenagers, and then they realize that they're not frum, right? That they're not really religious. They got it all wrong, right? Because what happens is, right, children grow up and they learn and they get the ideas and standards, and then they say, one second, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it gets in the way. It gets in the way. If a person, you know, whether moderately or dramatically, chooses a new path and has an open recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the parents sometimes do start to shrink relative to that. They do start to shrink relative to that. And sometimes that's not a positive thing. Sometimes it's not a positive thing. Sometimes it is that we're forgetting about these partners who are here because somehow we became googly-eyed about the big partner, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's supposed to be both. But on the other hand, there's an inherent challenge. So the Gemara tells us, you know who are the best at Kibud Av V'Em? The people whose only deference, whose only debt is to Av V'Em. The people who don't see the third partner. They don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people who don't limit their Kibud Av V'Em by, well, who do their parents have to defer to in turn? Esav was beyond Yaakov in Kibud Av V'Em because Esav only deferred to his parents. He didn't defer to the divine. He didn't defer to principle. Yaakov Avinu had other things, arguably bigger things, to concern himself with. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself. But nevertheless, where the conflict doesn't exist, where the parents' honor is not conflicting with the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand that sometimes they're going to end up doing a better job than us. Why? Because that's all they see is the covet of the parents. They don't see the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say, go ahead, Mr. Goldberg, Mr. Jew, I want you to see what's the extent of Kibud Av V'Em. So we learn it from an Avi Kechavim Mechad Pasha. We learn it from Esav. From there we'll say it, because that's his world. His world is Aviv Imai. His world is his father and his mother. Okay. Now, let's go one more step. There are three partners in a person: the father and the mother and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A father and mother generate a child. And through the first stages of life, what do? They take care of the child. They raise the child. They feed the child. They teach the child how to walk, how to talk, how to learn, how to live, how to make a living. And when the child makes a mess, what do? They clean it up. They clean it up. That's what a parent does for a child. But it's for a period of time. After a while, what happens? After a while, the child grows up. And it becomes their responsibility to take care of the parents. It's their responsibility to do things for the parent, to take care of the parent. And in fact, in a certain sense, as the child grows up, their dependence on the parent becomes a matter completely of past history. Right? They don't continue to be fed. They don't continue to be, I mean, of course you have situations where that can happen, but in principle, they don't continue to be fed, they don't continue to be sustained, they don't continue to be cleaned up after. The relationship completely turns around. In that dynamic, the relationship completely turns around. And again, maybe it's not with the same level of dependence. Certainly for many, many years, it should be not with that same, with a level of dependence. Maybe at a certain point, it does turn completely, whatever, Le'aleinu, or people should all live long and well and healthy and productive lives. But it's a relationship which ends and which turns around. What about the third shutav? What about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's peace? How does that work? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a person into this world, and he feeds the person, and he sustains the person, and cleans up very often the mess that the person makes. And then what happens? So a person grows up, right? The person's born, they're a little baby, and then they grow up. And what are we supposed to do when we grow up? We're supposed to do Kibud Av V'Aim. We're supposed to do Kavod Hashem. The Gemara says, again, the same passage in the Gemara, when it brings the idea that there are three partners in a person, says the Gemara, Hishva Kosuv, Kibud Av V'Aim L'Kvayt HaMokrin. The Pasuk says in the same way how we treat Hashem, how we treat parents. Kabed es avicha v'simecha, by parents. Kabed es Hashem mehayincha, by Hashem. Ish imay v'aviv tiro, by parents. Es Hashem alikevcha tira, by Hashem. There's a parallel. And that parallel means, okay, do for Hashem. Do for Hashem. Hashem brought us into the world. He empowers us. He brings us life. And now we're supposed to turn around and we're supposed to be able to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But do we ever become independent? Do we ever grow out of being Hashem's boy? You know, the Rambam says a very interesting thing. Simple thing, beautiful thing. In the Torah, everybody knows, it many times tells us special care to be exercised when it comes to dealing with Le'aleinu a Yosam, an orphan. An orphan deserves tremendous care. Says the Gemara, what's the definition of an orphan? Says the Rambam, what's the definition of an orphan? You have a person, they're 65 years old, and their parents pass away. Their parents are 90 years old. This person's now an orphan. That means you have to treat them with special kid gloves. Intuitively, we know that that's not correct, even though technically, of course. Right? What's exactly the definition of an orphan? What's the cutoff? So the Rambam writes that a person is considered an orphan during the stage that they need a godol lihishoyin ulisamech alof. People, there's a stage of life called youth or childhood or a certain age where one needs a parent to lean on. Of course, to a great degree, everyone will need it all the way through. Right? You know, person, you go see that person who's 65 who lost his mother. You go, I've gone to people who are 80 years old who lost a parent. And they say, you know something? It's the same thing. It's still losing a pair. It's true, but it's not the same thing as someone who lost them before they had a chance to be able to get on their feet, to be able to get that quote-unquote independence which a person indeed achieves. That's the definition of a yosef, says the Rambam, where they haven't reached that yet. But it's hope that a person reaches that stage, and at that stage, all things being equal, again, they turn around and they're no longer relying on the parent. Is that true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course it's not. That's never reached that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may be a point where a person is able to now do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're able to be Mechaber Hashem, they're able to show reverence to Hashem, they're able to do many things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they will never lose that other piece of it. They will never lose that other piece of it, of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam doing for them, and the absolute dependence we have on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam doing for them. We've just be able to build a capacity that we're able to do something as well. Cheryl Kane. The Akum, the non-Jew, who fulfills the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, is doing it, he sees the parent as being his everything. He doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the same way. And so he also sees himself as now being in the position to be able to give. He's lost the taste and the sense of dependency. As a child, yes. But now he's an adult. Now he's independent. Now he's in the stage of Kibud Av V'Em. He's sensitive enough, the Ovid Kechavim, to understand that he would not have been able to get here if not for his parents. And he's sensitive enough, therefore, in order to be able to create that sense of responsibility and that desire and that want to give back. And he'll give back tremendously. He'll give back very strongly. But he's giving back at this point here from strength. That's the mitzvah of the Umas Olam. The Ben Yisrael is not going to have that same profound gratitude to the parent. They should. Their actions should not be in the great sense any less, again, where it doesn't conflict with the Torah. But they won't have the same. They won't have the same because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore they say, it's not just my parents, it's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is needed for my parents too. But they also don't ultimately have that same sense we don't have. That same sense of ultimate independence. We don't have that sense of ultimate independence. It comes from what you see and what you don't see. The fact that we don't have that ultimate independence is based on our sensing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not something that everybody can see, but it's very much a part of us. The mitzvah of Por Aduma is Tavo Yo'emut Kaneach Tzoyas Bena. The mitzvah of Por Aduma is let the mother come and clean up the mess made by the child. The mitzvah of Por Aduma is built in the recognition that we, in a certain sense, don't grow out of it. Whereas the Egel, what was the Egel? What did we worship? We worshiped the baby. We worshiped the calf. We worshipped what we ourselves created, what was ultimately completely dependent on us. It wasn't just that, you know, we didn't wait for Hashem and we did it ourselves. It's so much the opposite of Kibud Av V'Em. It's the stage where the shoe is on the other foot. It's not Kibud Av V'Em because of dependence, it's because Kibud Av V'Em because now I'm a big boy, I can take care of you, I don't need you to take care of me anymore. Your God is your baby. It's the ego. Your handiwork. You understand what an inversion the egel is? How different it is than the way we would view our normal thing, us, the B'nai Yisrael, how we would view our deference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem made us. Hashem's never our child. The rules are never reversed. We gain some strength, and we use that strength to be completely, to serve, to honor, to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu still were completely, in a different, little bit of a different way, but we're still completely dependent on. That's the chet ha'egel. That's the sin of the egel. That's the sin of this shallow or this kibur ava'im model without the kavod ha'mokar model. For aduma is to bring back that other aspect. The kavod ha'mokar model. Zois chukas ha'tayra. How does that happen? That comes through zois chukas ha'tayra. These are the laws of Torah. I'm just going to tell you what to do. On the simplest level, of course, because that means we're dependent on Hashem. Right? The Ummah Sa'ilam, they say, we're not slaves to some command. We grow up. We understand. We appreciate the value of something, and we do it. In a sense, we write the script. In a sense, we build the God. The B'nai Yisrael. The magic lies in the third shutuf, lies in the third partner. And the third partner is the one which keeps on going, which means even when we're intelligent, but we're still Hashem's children. And we still, just like a child, is constantly given instructions by their parents that they may not yet completely understand. They're the child, they're the parent. The parent has greater wisdom, has greater vision, has greater understanding, so they instruct them, they tell them. The child follows. Zois chukas ha'tayra. That's the tikkun. Zois chukas ha'tayra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Hashem is not of our making. We are of His. The understanding of what we're supposed to do is not of our making. It's of His. Of His. That's the more of the depth of that contrast. More of the depth of that contrast. To worship the child, to worship that which you make yourself, is missing this ultimate piece. This ultimate piece of kavod ha'makom, of the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, you know, and how it comes in here. Beautiful thing that's noted by the Meshech Chochmah. I love to repeat it. It's just such an example of Teras Emes, Korim Divay Emes. I mentioned to you, I read to you this Gemara, two versions. First version says they needed merchandise, and the second version is more specific. It says they need stones for the Eichel. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, we have an even more precise version. You know what the more precise version is? So what happened was, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, why should they need stone for the Eifel? You know, the Eifel was not like styrofoam. It was not like something that, you know, that they have to replace. You know, the stones, I mean, the precious stones. That was, they lost it. They lost, not the whole Cheshen, but of the Yoshpei Mibin Yamin, the Yerushalmi says. It was in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Yoshpei stone, which is one of the 12 stones of the Eifel, was lost. Yoshpei is the stone which was on the spot of Binyamin on the Eifel. So that was lost. They went to look for it. So they went to 42nd Street, and that was what they were looking for when they came to Bama Ben Sion. Says the Meshech Chochmah, Binyamin's stone was lost. You know why Binyamin's stone was lost? It's because it was the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. What was the big plague in the Jewish people in the second Beis HaMikdash? The big plague was the tzedukim. the denial of the tradition of the Torah Shabbat, of the Messiah, of the tradition from parents to children. The Tzedukim said, look, give me the book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to figure it out for myself. Don't tell me some tradition that you have. I need to see it. I need to get it. I need to understand it. The Tzedukim, their heresy was grounded in the fact that when they looked in the world, they didn't see things that made sense. They didn't see judgment. They didn't see din v'dayin. Saw a world of Ayved al menashe lo lekabel pras. We're serving Hashem and forget about it. There's no positive consequences for it. That was the Tzedukim. They didn't have the Messiah of Torah. Says the Meshech Chachma, so the stone of Binyamin fell out. Because what does Binyamin represent? Binyamin is the only one of the Shvatim that never failed in Kibbutz Ha'ayim. The 10 brothers of Yosef sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. Okay? And Yosef went there. And he didn't serve, he wasn't the chabad of his father for all that time. They're all included in bringing this terrible grief to their father. The only one who wasn't included in that was Binyamin. Binyamin, who is therefore distinct in this, and in that period of time, when the Jewish people were losing their deference to the Messiah, Avraham, so then the stone of Binyamin fell. They went to get it. They went to get it. That's why Dama ben Asina. They went to get it from Dama ben Asina, and Dama ben Asina was the one, ultimately, of Kibbutz Ava'im. That's why the story, to bring out, go and learn the power of Kibbutz Ava'im, is in order to be able to restore the stone of Binyamin. To restore the stone of Binyamin. But I would just add, like, a little bit of a note, that to some degree, they didn't get that from Dama ben Asina. They didn't end up getting the stone from Dama ben Asina. They tried, but they didn't end up getting it from him. His Kibbutz Ava'im was dramatic. They didn't end up getting it from him. In the end, it turned around a little bit of a twist, and in place of that stone, he got the Parah Adumah. So maybe this is a little speculative. Maybe I'm not fully answering the question to begin with of the Kibbutz Ava'im versus the children getting it from the guy, when this is a mitzvah that the guy and the Nayan don't understand, but here he's getting it from Dama ben Asina. But you know, Nesira is something where even when you get older, you still have to be dependent on your parents. The proverbial parents of the Jewish people. It's true, now you're older, so you can drive yourself to your dentist appointments, you can cook your own dinner. You can hopefully make your own, make your own way. So many things. And, you know, you might even be smarter. Maybe you have a graduate degree, and your parent didn't get past high school. All kinds of things you don't need, but one thing that still remains is Messiah. The Messiah that, to some degree, is missing. That's the piece, that's an essential part of our thing. We say, why? Explain it to him. This is what we got from Meshach and from Sinai. And to a degree, that's the Parah Adumah. That's the Parah Adumah. That transcends, that goes beyond. That goes beyond. Our Kibbutz Ava'im, yes, it has its limits. It has its limits for all kinds of reasons. It has its limits because we see the Ribbono Shel Olam. It has its limits because when we see the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we know as well that our parents have responsibility to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if our parents don't exactly fulfill their responsibility to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it can, you know, to the degree that it affects, it's directly in our relationship. So it affects, it undercuts it. And for that big picture of that relationship, those things can be very much affecting it. They could be affecting. But our big picture, which Zeis Chukas HaTaira comes, is the perpetual picture of Tava Ya'im Chen Yach Zeis Bina, which is not true of the relationship with the parent. It's the relationship which we have uniquely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Relationship which we never grow out of. which we never grow out of. And to whatever degree, that relationship of sort of difference that we never grow out of. Esav, you sense in his kibud av ve'em that he's taking care of them, that he's in charge, he's on top of them. And our kibud av ve'em is supposed to be always looking up, because that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be able to take care of everything else. The Gemara says something which was written by Esav. You can do kibud av ve'em and it's horrible. You can take care of your parent and give them the most delicious, wonderful things, and the parent will say, oh wow, such beautiful things. You say, just eat it. Where'd you get it from? Just eat it. And on the other hand, the person could give their parent nothing. Can make them work, but can speak to them with such relevance, reverence and respect. Esav, when he went in, he said to his father, get up and eat. Yochum over, Yochum save Benai. Rough, bouncing around, taking care of him. We're about deference. We're about deference. We don't create our ego to respect. For us, it's the bigger picture. It's the picture of something bigger than us. Much, much bigger than us. Much, much bigger than us. All we see in the context of the Bayre. The nations of the world look at us when we do the Paraduma. Say, what's with you guys? You never grew up. You don't get it. You're following things that you altogether don't understand. Say, amen. Guilty as charged. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Whether we... That's what we need. That's going to be the source of our Torah. Baruch Hu should help us. First of all, everyone should be able to be a parent whose parenting is in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There shouldn't be any conflict between the partners. It should be, you know, in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all together. And as children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as children, we should be able to indeed understand, as much as we've grown, that we still so much for which we rely. And that should allow us the clarity and the service of the Christian.
The little guy?
The little guy.